time is now. I was reading an interesting thing this week. Based upon the studies of medical science, it says that people reach an age, as they get older, they reach a certain age where their life begins to operate according to their memory rather than futuristic planning. And I thought about that. Wow. And I immediately thought of the verse of Scripture, old men dream dreams, young men have visions. So there reaches a point where people, they began to live their life holding on to what they know, what they have experienced. Doesn't that really explain, as you get older, you don't want to change? Is anybody listening to? Well, it's the truth anyway. Try to hold on to things. But God always wants us to think, not based upon memory, per se, but based upon vision. Vision. Now, this sermon series, The Time Is Now, there is something on the inside of you, my friends. Something that is invested in you by Almighty God. It is so unique, and it is tailored fit for your personality, for your makeup, for your soul of who you are, and only you can accomplish what God wants you to accomplish. I believe this is why Paul said in Ephesians 3:20 that he is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that I ask or think, according to the power that is on, working on the inside of me. Paul further stated in Philippians 2:13, for it is God, thank you, for it is God that works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. So I want to propose this to you today. What has God put in you? Because the time is now to release it. The time is now. All right, so I want to give you a verse, book of Hebrews, chapter 2, verse 4. This is a great passage of God's word. It is a direct reference to how awesome salvation is and what Jesus has accomplished for each and every one of us. And the Bible says this in verse 4. It says that God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his will. Now, in reading that verse of Scripture, I want you to make a connection. I want you to make a connection between miracles and gifts. Are y'all with me? I want you to make that connection. Because when gifts are released, miracles happen. Thank God. So make that connection. Because he makes it right here in verse 4. He says, bearing witness with signs, wonders, various miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. God has invested something in each and every one of us. Hallelujah. Nobody else can do it. There's no other you. Right? There's no other you. You are one in, I don't even know what we would say. I mean, the population of the world is 7 billion. But you are one in all of creation. Because there will never be another person like you. Some of you are thinking about your ex-husbands or ex-wives and saying, oh, thank you, Jesus. Well, let me stay focused here. Nobody has ever lived like you. Nobody will come after you. Only you are you. And only you can do what God has invested in you. So that's why the time is now to release your gifts. So I want to help you to do that today. And moving forward. Because I believe in what's inside of you. And I know that when it is released, it is an awesome thing to behold. So I want to share some principles with you today on releasing your gifts. And first and foremost, we must understand this, that each one of us has been given a season. We all have been given a season. How many of you know that life goes by very fast? I mean, it moves quickly. Time waits for no one. I know Mick Jagger sang that song, "Time is on your side." But it's not true. Right? It's not true. It's not on our side because it's moving. Whether we move with it or not, it is moving rapidly. And Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. Every purpose. There is a season. The Bible says it emphatically. There is a season. There is a time for every purpose under heaven. Consider this one. Book of Psalms, very first psalm, one of my favorites, actually, Psalms 1. And it says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season." That's awesome. It brings forth fruit in its season. Season simply means an appointed time or a set time. God invests in us so that we will produce something. Our life is intended to bear fruit. Says it right here. The man who walks with God, the person who is experiencing the Lord, walking with the Lord, he is like a tree. And he's going to bring forth fruit in his season. But we must understand that our season is only for however long it may be. We hope that we would, you know, live good long life. But how many of you know there's no guarantees of tomorrow? There's no guarantee of this afternoon. Amen? We are only given a small amount of time on this earth. Jesus said this in John 9:4. He said, "We must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night comes when no man can work." Every one of us has been given an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. We have been given an opportunity to use that which God has given us. Even Jesus expressed a spiritual urgency to accomplish everything that the Father wanted him to accomplish. Now we think of Christ and we think of the cross. And we know that was the ultimate objective, was to go to the cross, die as a sacrifice, lay his life down, provide forgiveness, salvation, and the gift of eternal life to to whosoever will may come and drink of the water of life freely. God provided that. But many times we overlook what happened leading up to that. During the 3.5 year ministry time that Jesus had on this earth. And if you go and study it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, you will find that Jesus would say, I must go to the other village. I must go. See, there were things that he had to accomplish along the way. The cross was the ultimate mission, the ultimate objective. But there were many things that he was appointed to do from the very moment he was born into this world until the moment he would go out. Same thing applies to you and I. All of us have been given an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. But it's only a season. Each one of us has been given a season. And with every decade, things change. Now, Drew Brees, I watched the football game Friday night. I like to watch the preseason and see all of the people that are trying to make the team. And as I watched the quarterback fumbling around, I came to this realization. They better find somebody to replace this man. Because he's 39 years old and he's not playing until he's 50. Are y'all still with me? And 39 is young. But in the realm of football, it's not young. Because you can't do at 40 what you did at 30. You can't do at 80 what you did at 70. Or 60. We only have a season. Everyone has been given a season to do something for the kingdom of God, to release what is on the inside of us. Let me move on to the second thing. A special purpose. I want you to go with me, Book of Romans, chapter 12. A special purpose and gift is waiting to be manifested in you, my friends, in each and every one of you. So, Romans chapter 12. These verses are what we call the motivational gifts. They are called motivational gifts because there's something on the inside of you that motivates you. Now, the men are going to do this construction project today. And construction sometimes motivates me. But fishing motivates me more. So I'm going fishing. And I'm going to come back to help. And hopefully it'll be done by the time I get back. Because somebody's spearheading the project, not me. Hallelujah. That was a joke. Because I am a hands-on pastor. But I'm glad there's other hands. Hallelujah. But every one of us, we have something on the inside of us. Something that makes you tick. And it's been put there by God. Most people don't know what it is. See, that's why I say there's a special purpose and gift that is waiting. It's waiting to be manifested. All right, so we read these verses of Scripture in Romans 12. In verse 5 it says, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. All right, so we are collectively the body of Christ. If you're a born-again child of God, that's what the Bible is teaching us right here. We are collectively the body of Christ. We are members. Look at what it says. We are members individually of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace. So God is very diversified. And he doesn't put the same gifting in every person. It says that every member has differing gifts. Again, something on the inside of you, something invested by God. It is unique and tailored just for you. Nobody can release it except you and only you. So he says, we are members together individually, having then gifts differing in verse 6 according to the grace that is given. Let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. These are motivational gifts. They drive us. They motivate us. When we begin to tap into these things that are on the inside of us, we begin to operate effectively. Our life begins to take on a very unique meaning. Because there's a special measure of grace that is your gift, my friends. Your gift. A special measure just for you. And it comes from God. So this measure of grace will operate effectively through the gift that God has placed within us. And again, that's why we call them motivational gifts. They are called that because they motivate us to serve in the flow of that gift. A special purpose and gift waiting to be manifested. The time is now to release your gift. And I am believing God that God is going to give us grace, wisdom, and insight to tap into those gifts that are residing in every single person. Hallelujah. There was a time in my life I didn't know I had any gifts. I didn't know there was something on the inside of me. If somebody would have told me years ago that I would be a pastor and preach the gospel, I would have told them they must have been smoking some Alcapoca gold. Come on, somebody. Are y'all with me? Because when you're lost, you don't see that. You don't look for any gifts. You don't even realize, excuse me. You don't even realize there's something inside of you. Placed there by God Himself. But it's there. And it's in every single one of us. Hallelujah. It's time to release it. Have you discovered what's on the inside of you? Have you even considered what's on the inside of you? Let me further illustrate. Let's go to the book of Ephesians chapter 3. Book of Ephesians chapter 3. Here's my next point. Because gifts are released by grace in action. Thank God for grace. Hallelujah. Thank God that we can mess up and there's grace to restore. Thank God you might sin, but there's grace to forgive. You know, and that's why the Bible says, because we have been forgiven, that we should always be willing to forgive people. People that wrong you, people that may talk bad about you, people that may attack you, people that might do all of those things. Because really, all of those things that happen really the power and impact of them is really determined by how we respond to it. What do we do with it? But thank God that His grace should always enable us to forgive. Even Paul said this. He said that we should be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. So we should always be willing to forgive people, whatever they have done. Doesn't mean you got to take them out to dinner. Doesn't mean you got to, you know, go to Walmart and get them a gift card. But you have to forgive them, because that's grace in action. And your gift is released by that grace. Check this out in Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, Paul says in verse 7, he says, by which I became a minister, he's talking about grace, by which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. Paul is stating emphatically, he said, I have become a minister because of the gift of God's grace. And because of that gift, there is something that is happening on the inside of me, something that is producing. What he is telling us, people of God, is that the gift was being released. And because the gift was being released, it was accomplishing something. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 15:10. Paul says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. He learned how to release what was on the inside of him. When we serve with the gifts that God has put in us, we began to experience the power of his grace. That grace in action is power to enable you to do what you could not ordinarily do. That's what's so awesome about grace. I love the testimony that I heard of a minister in Atlanta, Georgia, and led a large congregation. And there was a time in his life before he knew God, before he was a born-again child of God, where he was living under the interstate in the city of Atlanta, living under a bridge in a cardboard box. Now, I'm sure if someone would have walked up to him in that condition and told him there is a gift on the inside of him, I'm sure he would have probably doubted that. He's like, man, look at me. I mean, I'm in a bad situation. I'm in a bad place. But I believe that someone, God must have sent someone to that man that did prophesy over him and called something on the inside, something that was invested in his life by Almighty God. And all it needed was to be released. All it needed was to experience the grace of God in action. Because grace in action will enable you to do more than you ever could do on your own, or you ever even thought you could do on your own. That, my friend, is the power of grace. Hallelujah. Thank God for his awesome, incredible grace. And it's only by this grace, this is what Paul is teaching us. He said, I am what I am because of his grace. And he says, I have become a minister according to the gift of this grace that has been given to me. And there is a power. You see, it's like getting in an old Anybody ever had old jalopy? You always would pray and the thing would start and run to get you to work. Yeah, some of y'all know what I'm talking about. One of my first cars, it had a fume problem. I'm serious. It's a miracle thing didn't kill me. I'd be riding that. It was a Plymouth, if I'm not mistaken. I'd be riding that thing, and somehow the fumes of carbon monoxide was getting in the car. But my cousin warned me. He said, one thing about this car. He said, be sure to ride with all four windows down. And I was like, why? He said, there's a fume problem that I haven't identified yet. But somehow those fumes of gas, you know, burning gas, carbon monoxide. How many of y'all know carbon monoxide will kill you? Right? But, you know, I was young. I didn't care. I'll put the windows. I just want to ride, man. I just need to ride. You know, but sometimes it's like having one of those old cars. You know, it might even spit and sputter. Sometimes Brother Chris might pray over our outboard engines like that, you know. And Lord, just let this thing, it can spit and sputter. Just let it run to get me to the fish. Get me to the fish and back. That's all I need. Just to the fish and back, and then it can die then. But don't die until I fish. But, you know, it's like getting in that old car. And, you know, it starts running, and it's misfiring. And I've heard cars, people still have these problems. I hear cars sometimes right here on Berman Highway backfire. I mean, loud backfire. You know, and that's how grace is. You know, sometimes you get in that vehicle. You get in that gift. You may not even understand what that gift is yet. But it's like that old vehicle. You reach a point where all of a sudden it just starts hitting on all cylinders. And when it starts hitting on all cylinders, boy, she is, oh, I said, oh, this car is a dream, man. This thing is running. It just takes it a little while to get warmed up. You know, and that's how discovering the gift of God on the inside of us is. You know, sometimes we might spit, we might sputter, we might misfire. But once you find that gift and you tap into what God has put on the inside of you, and it begins to function and flow and operate, man, it is an awesome, incredible thing to behold. Because it's a God thing. Hallelujah. It's a God thing. It is His gift. So that's why when we serve with what God has put on the inside of us, we begin to experience the power of it. And when we do, man, it just begins to motivate us. Because we were intended to release it. We were created to release it. Man, let me give you another. This one is awesome. Here's number four. I only got five to give you. So here's number four. See, gifts, got to get this, gifts are to be invested in others. It's not for us to show off. As some people get a gift and say, ha, look at my gift. I'm so good. I'm so anointed. There was a guy one time, he told us, he said, do you know that I am an awesome singer? And he said, I'm not only good, I'm just going to say that. Y'all just pardon this, but I'm just going to say it, okay? He said, I am damn good. It's just a quote, okay? It's not from me. But gifts are not to be paraded. Gifts are not to be used to show off. Gifts are to be invested in others. God wants you to invest in someone. God wants you to impact someone. God wants you to influence someone. Check this out. In 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 10. I love this in the Amplified Version. It says, as each of you has received a gift. Now just listen. Listen to what it's saying. He doesn't say some of you. He doesn't say a few of us. He says, as each of you has received a gift. Look at this. A particular spiritual talent. A gracious divine endowment. Employ it for one another as befits good trustees of God's many-sided grace. Faithful stewards of the extremely diverse powers and gifts granted to Christians by unmerited favor. Now that's a verse right there. You ought to take it home today and you ought to pray over that. I'm telling you, pray over that. Take that home with you. Pray over it. Pray when you get up tomorrow morning, pray that verse. Make a declaration. God, according to your word, I have received a gift, a particular spiritual talent, a gracious divine endowment. Help me to discover it and help me to employ it for your praise and your glory and your honor. Hallelujah. Paul said this in Ephesians 3:2. He says, indeed, you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace, which was given to me for you. Now, this is going to sound a little, this is going to sound a little funny, what I'm going to tell you, what I'm going to say to you now. But I want you to get it in the right spirit, because I think I'm giving some clarification. Becky and I are God's gift to this church. Now, that can sound kind of arrogant, and that's why I'm qualifying it. You know, but if you really think about what the Bible is saying, I mean, God has placed us as a gift in the body of Christ. All right, now check this out. All right, so then it also works this way. So all of the folks that God assembles here, you are God's gift to us. That's why we celebrate you. Are y'all with me? That's why we love you. That's why we pray for you. That's why we believe God for your victory, your success, your blessing, your favor. Because you are God's gift to us. And we celebrate that. We should celebrate the gifts of God. Celebrate what God has done. Celebrate it all. And we're always believing God. Lord, we know there's more new friends that are coming. And we're going to welcome them. We're going to receive them. And we're going to believe God for their victory and their success as well. That's why Jesus said, I must go to the other village. Because there's other people that need, they need the life. They need the gospel. They need it. So thank God. You know, gifts, we are all gifts. And those gifts are to be invested in the lives of other people. He's teaching us that right here. He says it emphatically right here in 1 Peter 4:10. So we have to employ it. Do y'all see that? He says employ it. So I have to ask myself a question. Is my gift employed or unemployed? How many people are living life unemployed? Right? How many of you know it's not a good thing to be unemployed in the work world? Because if you're unemployed, it means you don't have something that's very needed. Money. I'm not going to talk about the energy bill, okay? With the scripture card. I don't use that one enough. But everything, if you go to the grocery store, food's not free. Right? Automobiles. Gas is not free. Wouldn't it be nice if you could just pull up to the gas station and say, fill her up. You know who I am. Doesn't work that way, right? Doesn't work that way. If you go shopping, buy new clothes or my shoe collection needs help. Becky, I declare that you're going to go shop for your husband some shoes because you're an expert in the field. I was looking at I was looking at my everyday shoes that I kind of wear every day, not dress shoes. One pair has paint on them because I'm always doing something and I'm not always dressed for what I'm doing. One pair has paint on them, a lot of paint. Another pair, the sole is split. So Becky tells me, you can get that fixed. Just take it down to the... True story. She said, just take it down to the shoe repair. She said, because the top of them looks great. I said, really? You think they can fix that? I said, okay. I'm going to do it. But then I started looking at that split on the sole of that shoe, and I just was wearing them yesterday. And I even told her, I said, Becky, I think I need to go get some new shoes. I said, even if they can fix it back. I got some Gorilla Glue. I said, that'll probably do the trick, you know. Only problem with the Gorilla Glue is it kind of foams out the side. And so I didn't know if that would work too good. But, you know, but I was noticing some of the leather on it was just kind of peeling off. And I said, yeah, I probably should go buy some new shoes, you know. And how did I get on this story? Kind of forgot where I was. Well, anyway, let me get back here. All right. No, here, unemployed, right? That's what we're talking about. All right, unemployed. We gotta keep the gift employed. Every person has a gift and a measure of grace that they never discover because they keep it bottled up. Now think about that. They never discover it because they keep it bottled up. Paul said this to Timothy, 2 Timothy 4:6. He said, as for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. Hallelujah. See, the awesome thing about it is that if we keep our bottle full, then God can't pour anything in. But when we begin to pour it out, then God keeps refilling. Pour it, refill, pour, refill, pour. And then you begin, listen, this is a great, great truth right here. Then we begin to live life in a divine flow of grace. Oh, hallelujah. Did y'all catch that? Man, when you live life in a divine flow of grace, it is awesome because you are fulfilling what God has invested in you. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost in this. Let me give you the fifth and final thing, and we're going to pray. You have a life purpose determined by God. I love this in the book of Jeremiah. Old Testament book of Jeremiah chapter 1. God's word to the prophet. He says this, verse 4 and 5. He says, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, this is the prophet being called. And this was the word of the Lord to him. Before I form you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. Before you were born, I ordained you to be a prophet to the nations. And then the prophet said, Lord God, I cannot even speak. I am a youth. I love the story of Tommy Barnett. His son, Matthew Barnett, leads the Dream Center in Los Angeles, California. They call it the church that never sleeps because it's open 24 hours a day. 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Los Angeles Dream Center. Matthew has spoken at our annual ministers conference a few years ago. Great guy. He said he was riding in a city one time. His father's been pastoring for a long, long time. He's getting up in years now. Tommy Barnett. And he said, we're riding. And he said there was this church that needed a pastor. And it was a denominational church. I think it was Assembly of God Church. And needed a pastor. He said, Matthew, he said, you could pastor that church. He said, you could fulfill the call of God, and you could pastor that church and lead that church to reap a great harvest. And Matthew Barnett, he said, he looked at him, he said, Dad, I'm 10. He said, that don't matter. He said, you could lead that church. You could pastor that church. See, because he was thinking, listen, he understood something about what's on the inside of us. And Matthew says, Dad, I'm 10. The prophet says, I'm just a youth. I can't even speak properly. But God had already made the declaration. God had already determined Jeremiah was to be a prophet to the nation. But he had to discover it. Each one of us has a life purpose, but we have to discover it. Now listen, in closing, listen to this. See, the devil's plan is to make people into something that they are not, and then convince them that what they are is who they are. And I just said a great truth right there. And you just think about that. The devil's plan is to make people into something that they are not, and then convince them that that is who they are. And he's doing it all around the world. Because that's his plan. That's how he operates. See, this is how lost people live. They are walking down a wrong road, living as somebody that they are not. And my message today is that the time is now to release what is on the inside of you, because it has been placed there by God.